Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody, to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Cy White, joined by Dan Durkin.
Hello.
And we have to acknowledge, of course, off the bat, that this is probably really weird for people to hear because I'm not Scott Tailford. This is the first podcast I think we're dropping since Scott has gone on paternity leave. So we needed to acknowledge it at the top. And also to say congratulations on the birth of Tiny Tailford.
Yay!
I don't know if that's the actual name, but sure. Congratulations.
I don't know. We're allowed to leak the name or...
I don't know the name. So as far as I know, it's Tiny Tailford.
It's a mystery.
But we're not here to talk about babies. Dan, the Fallout show has dropped officially on Amazon Prime. We've watched the first episode, so we're just going to talk about that. We haven't had a chance to get into all of it because everything, I think it's 8 episodes, has all dropped at once. But we're going to give sort of first impressions on that, how we feel about Fallout episode 1. What it did right, what it did wrong. You're a big Fallout fan, so you must have had some kind of expectation going into this. Did this meet your expectations?
So originally when they initially announced the show, I was skeptical. But once the trailer like came out, I was like, oh, this looks pretty good. There was a lot of like branding of like Nuka-Cola and like all the other things like found in universe. So I was thinking at the time, I was like, is this going to be just like reference after reference? And like lean on that more so than being an actual good show. So I had that like worry in my head. But after watching the episode, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great.
Yeah, I found there was a lot of the like point at the screen, hey, I know that sort of stuff. Even for me, so I guess maybe I should give context before we get any deeper, is that I'm not particularly a big Fallout fan. I know a lot of people would have clicked this and now mad at me, and it's not because I have any issues with Fallout. It's just not my kind of game, but I've always been interested in the universe. So for me, I was really excited about this because it's like, okay, this is the stuff that I love. Like I could get into the lore here finally and that kind of stuff. So I'm actually coming at this from a perspective of somewhere closer to someone who's not au fait with the games and doesn't know some of the stuff, but obviously there's a lot of recognizable elements, and I did find that there was a lot of them in episode one, but they were handled really well. Like it was background stuff and it was used to further the plot. There's like the Stimpak moment was the big thing that stood out to me.
So good, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it wasn't just, hey, look at the Stimpak. It was like, you know, we're using this for a logical reason. It's not, they weren't waving it in your face constantly and trying to explain it. They were just like, here it is. It's done a thing for a character and then we move on. So I think how they handled stuff like that was really good. And obviously, just the recognizable imagery of the vaults and the Brotherhood of Steel. Three different characters. I wasn't quite sure how that was going to work out.
Yeah.
How did you find the pacing of the episode? Because I thought so much happened in episode one. I was really happy with it.
Mm-hmm. It was really long, actually. I think it was about 70 minutes long.
Yeah, an hour and 15 or so.
So that's how we spent our morning. But yeah, I think it was interesting the way they did it, introducing the characters one by one. It like came up with like a title screen when the titles were like introduced. Mm. So you had Lucy, I think, was the name of the vault character. And when it cut to the Brotherhood of Steel stuff, I was kind of wanting to go back to the vault because it was like all kicking off and stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as pacing goes, I think it worked really well. The Walton Goggins character at the end, I think that was the highlight of the episode for me. I know I'm jumping forward there, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all their stories like intertwine in the future. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it.
That's precisely how I felt at the end of this, even aside from, like, here's an awesome trailer for the rest of the season, which really gets you hyped up. But just the way they leave it, it's like, there are three characters here, and we know they're going to converge. They've all got different sort of experiences in the Wasteland and ideologies and stuff like that. So that's really exciting. I really like that they bookended it with, here's the ghoul's character before he was a ghoul, and yeah. You know, when the bombs go off, and then he's at the end of the episode 200 years later, and we kind of like, well, where's this guy been? Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to get a lot of that. I agree with you a little bit in the sense that when we went from the vault, which was, I really love that it was brightly colored, mm-hmm. like they didn't make it too grimy and yeah. whatever, like the colors popped out as they should in Fallout. When we went to the Brotherhood of Steel, I was like, this is quite drab. I guess it works because they're meant to be like a miserable militaristic mm-hmm. faction.
It's like contrasting that.
Yeah, it worked in that way for me. I was kind of desperate to get some color back into my life, but it's good. It generated a different mood from the previous section as mm-hmm. well.
I think they did the world building like really, really well. It's just the humor of Fallout, they nailed mm. that, like contrasted with the violence and the gore that, yes. that's present. It's just, it's like really, really good. Like I can't like say how good it was compared to other film adaptations and TV adaptations that we've seen in the past. But yeah, like how did you feel about the gore?
That was a big thing for me that I actually really enjoyed because they managed to both make it serious enough that you were invested in characters and what was going on. And I really liked, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit more in a moment, but the sort of vault storyline that they had. But yeah, contrasted with the violence, which was kind of silly. Like it was meant to be funny and sort of slapstick. It was presented. It was just gratuitous.
The blood was a funny color as well. Like
it was a little bit red. Right. There was a lot of like silly deaths and silly like injuries and stuff. And it's very video gamey, which I thought, you know, that's like that. They actually handled it really right and sort of very deftly went from something major is happening in the vault. A bunch of characters are under jeopardy to. Yeah, but it's funny. There's a guy yeah. with like wedding cake smeared around his face and stuff like that. And then flip back to some kind of serious moment as well. It was really interesting how they kind of weaved between the two. Mm-hmm. That was the big thing for me with sense of humor. I thought some of the jokes was a bit in hit and miss dialogue wise. I thought Lucy was really great in terms of sort of her bubbly character was yeah. really funny. Like her okie dokie thing was really great. But some of the rest of the jokes, you know, I could take or leave. So it makes me really interested to see how they handle that moving forward as we now sort of get into the wider world of Fallout as well. How did you feel about the situation with the vault? Because as I know, you know, all the different vaults throughout the world, they all have their own sort of story. And the Raider invasion, I know it's a bit spoilery now, was a really cool, I don't know if that's happened in the lore before, but I thought it was a really cool way to do it where they sort of slid in and was like, yep, we're going to do some damage now.
Mm-hmm. So it looked like Vault 33 and Vault 32 are connected, which is like yeah. the first, I think. And
yeah.
they set it up so that Lucy's going to be like marrying a character from Vault 32. And it was funny because they did the whole like filling in the blanks of like the logistics of surviving in a vault because like you don't really think about how they'd have to like procreate and breed so they can keep the human population
yeah.
going. So that was kind of like interesting to see that. And the way they did it is they essentially tricked them into thinking that the Vault 32 and the Vault 33 people were going to like get married, I guess, but they were actually raiders. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought I wondered that because I was like, I'm not sure I've ever heard about this sort of trade of peoples, but it's a really interesting perspective, as you say, and it's not just like, this is the weird TV show bit, like smashed into the video game lore that you know. It's believably like, yeah, actually, that's an interesting point that there would be vaults out there where they kind of realized that maybe we should stop fooling around with our cousins, which was a funny reoccurring gag throughout the episode. And yeah, then the sort of subversion on that was really cool. The fight scenes that followed were really great. Having Lucy sort of come out on top in this wedding gown with a blood stain was really neat.
It was interesting how they set her character up at the start as well. It was like she was giving her like strengths in like, I think she mentioned her yeah. speech and all that. And that was kind of tying into the game. But it also showed her as like a capable individual. Mm. So when it comes down to the nitty gritty of her going out into this wasteland, it's more believable. Like she's not like green in that sense. She's had training and she knows how to shoot and all that good stuff. So I think it was good at setting up that character.
Yeah, completely. Like, yeah, I'm a skilled person, not necessarily a warrior, but I live underground. I've got plenty of free time to just learn skills that might wind up being useful. And then you juxtapose that with the Brotherhood of Steel stuff, which was all about sort of macho strength, you know, that weird culty behavior.
Yeah.
And sort of the implication there of outwitting your fellow man to get ahead. I don't know much about the Brotherhood of Steel except that our colleague Joe Johnston hates them. So how did you feel about how they handled this stuff? Because interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting the way they portrayed them. And I did want to ask you about the scene with the boot, because one of the characters gets chosen to join the Brotherhood of Steel, and then they can then not join because of an injury with this boot. There's like a razor blade in the boot. Do you think the character of Maximus, I think, was the one who was like accused of it? Did you think he did it, or do you think it was somebody else?
I was going to ask you the same question. I guess that's going to be a plot thread going forwards, because there's a lot of like vagaries throughout. I think for my money, and there have been people that have already binged the whole show and can tell us in the comments, I'm sure, whether it's right or wrong and whatever, but I think we're going to find out that he did do it.
Yeah.
That's my feeling, because that's more interesting for the story, right?
I think the character said to him as well, oh, I told them you wouldn't hurt a fly. And that's like very against what the Brotherhood.
I was going to say, that doesn't seem right, because their whole thing seems to be about hurting people that hurt them.
Yeah.
Special shout out to, and I wish I knew the actor's name off the top of my head, but the guy who played the like elder dude that Maximus was talking to. He's a fantastic actor. And there was a lot of like that throughout where it's like, oh, it's that person. You know, obviously with the casting announced for the show, there was a lot of excitement with Walter Goggins, who's this underrated sort of actor, getting his time to shine here. But there's a bunch of people throughout that was like, oh, awesome, they're in this. And we've got like Matt Berry to come. So I'm really excited to see all of these people popping up throughout. Is there any particular highlights for you for performance in this episode?
To be honest, the start of the episode with the little girl when they're at the party, it was just like, it was haunting the way she delivered the line, your thumb on mine, I believe it was, when the bombs are going off in the background. And that, it gave us goosebumps. Even thinking about it now, it's just the way that opening scene was shot and acted and everything about it was just, it was perfect.
Mm. Yeah, I completely agree. I think the opening of the show is really, really clever and really, really interesting. And yeah, some really beautiful cinematography with sort of you see from inside the house. Because right from the off, we're at a birthday party on a hillside and there's a cityscape in the background. And they show you that so many times where when Fallout, you're like, that's where it's going to happen. Yeah. And they really made you wait for it. And that says you just knew that that's what. But the way they shot it from inside the house, past everybody, and the future ghoul character, Walter Goggins' character, facing the other way to everyone else out at the explosion was great. And then him riding off on his horse while everything blew up was like, okay, we're off to a fantastic start. How do you feel about it so far in terms of video game adaptions? You talked about it there. We've had another big one in the last year or so with The Last of Us, which is lots of people say that it's broken the curse of video game adaptations. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think that's kind of... we've had good adaptations over the years, but we might be in a period now, like a boom period with that and Mario, and this off to a great start.
I think it's looking more positive than it did, say, 20 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
I think people are taking video games more seriously now as a form of art and a form of storytelling, and it's putting respect onto these stories, I think, which a lot of adaptations of the past have not done. Resident Evil, for one.
Right.
We could get into that. but no, like, I did enjoy The Last of Us, but I prefer the game story, like the way the game tells the story. But I still think the show was incredible. And I think that this is just continuing that trend of great adaptations. And it's nice to see. It's like a breath of fresh air. I don't know if it would work in, say, like a movie form, because I think they're making a BioShock movie. I don't know if that's a movie or a TV show, but
I think so.
Maybe adaptations of video games work better as TV shows.
I think so, generally speaking. Something like a Mario as a movie makes sense, because there's not a lot you have to adapt there anyway. It's just like a kid's film, bright, colorful visuals.
Yeah.
But something lore heavy, like a Last of Us, like a Fallout, like perhaps a BioShock, would probably work much better as a TV show. Like, I would ask you what you'd want out of a BioShock show. Like, that's the thing, because if you talk about The Last of Us, it was a fairly straight adaptation of the video game, with maybe, obviously, like, there's one episode which is, like, completely different and the odd thing here and there. But other than that, it was fairly straightforward of an adaptation. Yeah. Whereas with Fallout, yes, it's recognizably Fallout, but it's a brand new set of characters in a world that allows that. BioShock seems like a weird one for me, because BioShock, when it comes to mind for me, is the original game and that original story. And I know there has been sequels, which I actually haven't played. So I guess they would go for a new story, or would you want to see them adapt the original game? Like, what would you want to have a BioShock adaptation? It's a weird one.
I think going for a new set of characters and a new story is the safer bet.
Yeah.
And probably the better bet in terms of getting a new story rather than a story that you already love, like, potentially butchered, should I say.
Right.
Because I know they're making a Gears of War, I think a film, but they're also doing an animated series as well.
Right.
And I think animated series versions of games could be, like, great. We haven't really got a lot of that. I think they're doing a Tomb Raider one as well.
Right, yeah, I think I have heard that. There's a few kicking around. They haven't really blown up. Like, Castlevania, I guess, is the biggest one, but I feel like most people just... I mean, Onimusha is not a big series anyway.
Yeah.
But it passed everyone by, didn't it? The fact that the show is out there, nobody seemed to talk about it. And there's a whole bunch of them that are sort of in planning or in production at this point. So there are more video game adaptations just kind of constantly happening. We might almost hit, like, a peak mass of it at some point. But Fallout, I feel like it's come out at the right time and it's done the right thing, as I say, by handling all this recognizable imagery with a brand new way.
It's so good. And I think, going back to the animation thing, have you ever seen Arcane?
Yeah, I watched the first few episodes. I don't really know a lot about League of Legends, but I was interested in the animation, and that was really cool.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because I hadn't played League of Legends, and I'd never, like, been in that world before. But that adaptation shows how a video game adaptation should be done. Like, it's perfect, in my opinion. And I think it's harder to do live-action stuff, but in terms of setting it within the world, but not in... with characters that you know, I think that's the better option, like, going forward with these sort of, like, remakes type things.
Right.
But then again, if you were to do Resident Evil, you'd want to see the iconic characters. So it's a little bit of a fine line you have to walk there.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Think.
Well, in Resident Evil's case, obviously, with prior adaptations, they've done a lot of, like, inventing new stories and characters, not even in that world, in a sort of version of the world, mm-hmm. I would say. I guess it comes down to sort of weighing up what's simply the best story. Like, what's going to... Is the video game going to translate to TV? If not, can we use this world to tell a new story, a la Fallout, a la Arcane and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Because there are going to be people coming into it, like in the case of myself with Fallout, who know bits and pieces but don't really know that much about it, where it's not going to make too much of a difference to me what you're doing if you're adapting an actual story that exists or putting a brand new one into the lore, as long as it's a good story. So I think that's the important distinction, is to make the correct choice there. And you need, as you said, people that are going to handle it with care, people that know what they're doing, people that know the right answer to that question. Is should this be straightforward or should this be something brand new?
Yeah.
Because that's the most important thing, is telling the right story. You've got to honor the fans, absolutely, mm-hmm. While you do that. But you can't just go, oh, we'll just do it this way. Like, no, it needs, you can't go off half-cocked with it. And I think a lot of studios are waking up to that with the success of The Last of Us. And now Fallout, I think, like, the review scores have come in very positive.
I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. Like, I really, really enjoyed that first episode. And it was just like the little moments, like seeing the junk jet used. I don't know if you're familiar with that from the game.
That's not a thing I know.
In the game, you basically get to craft your own weapons. And this was, when I was playing Fallout 3, this was one of the first weapons I created. And you basically can stuff in like teddy bears and like plates and stuff.
Oh,
and
shoot
it out. So in the episode, I think one of the guards is shot with like a doll, a baby's like arm, was it, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
So like, how did you feel about that, as not like not knowing what that was? Were you confused by it?
A little bit. That one was a little bit odd, but you're already at that point into a world that has a lot of like okay kind of questions. Like, yeah, literally before the bomb drops, obviously we see that there's robots, mm-hmm. which is a little out of the ordinary when you don't know the lore of that world and why they're there. And I think that kind of thing is probably going to get explanations throughout. Hopefully it's done right and it's not just two characters talking and just sort of lore dumping. But I guess you do have the opportunity to do that with a vault dweller like Lucy, who doesn't know the outside world. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of the vault, I suppose, as well. Everything's brand new to this person. So they're the sort of audience surrogate.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And again, I'm talking about this as someone that's only seen episode one, and there are people out there that have watched the whole thing. Could be way off base. But in the trailer, it almost seems like Walter Goggins in his black and white thing. You could do him as sort of a narrator. This is how we got to this point in the world. Like, that would be really cool, because Fallout's lore is long and deep, and it's not just the world that you're playing in, it's the pre-bomb drop stuff that you need to know about as well. So that's going to be an interesting juggling act of how much do they feel like they have to explain stuff to the audience, or how much do they just go, it's a gun and it fires baby doll arms. Sure, why not? Okay, it's weird and wacky.
That's it. And I hope they don't lean too heavily into the whole like fish out of water thing, because it can get a little bit tired at points. So I hope the evolution of Lucy's character is like organic, but also not like forced, if you get what I'm saying. Like, she looks like she's going to turn into a badass, and I can't wait for that to happen.
As long as they do that at the right pace, I think. That was the thing for me. Like, she gets attacked as this sort of person who's never, in theory, been in combat before in episode one. Mm-hmm. And I did have a moment of like, is she just going to turn out to be really cool? But she doesn't necessarily luck her way out of it, but she does. She's not exactly like kicking the guy's butt. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. It almost feels like we're going in with a low level character, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a perfect explanation for it. But like, that was a big dude, and he was just thrown around the room. It's like, that's probably what would happen in that situation. Sure. But she used her brains to get out of it, I guess, because she just hits him over the head with the thing, and I guess like slashes his throat. But yeah, it was interesting.
Did you expect that guy to come back all scarred up? Because that took me by surprise.
I wasn't expecting like to see that guy's butt.
There's a lot of butt in this episode. But that's what I mean about sort of like the comical violence, like the fact that he came back with like a mashed up face, mm-hmm. just to get jobbed off again. I was like, okay, there's some humor in the sort of slapsticky violence-y stuff here that was like, good. It's not just a grimy, super serious thing, because Fallout is silly and dumb, mm-hmm. and that's kind of why it always appealed to me from the outside and how I wanted to get into it. So really glad that I have the opportunity to do it with this show.
What did you think about the music choices?
spot on for me.
Yeah, it was.
From what I know, it was like, yeah, it's right. And obviously with the... Did you watch the credit sequence after the trailer as well? There's like a big pan out thing. And you could, of course, crawl out through the Fallout playing as well. It was like, nice. Yeah. So generally speaking, not just the aesthetics visually, but the audio. I thought the sound design in general, actually, I want to say, was really good.
There was a lot of things drop like used from the game.
Oh, was there? Was there sound effects from the game?
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
Like when she injected the stim pack, it was like the noise that it makes.
Oh, nice.
Was there any like negatives to it, in your opinion?
I mean, not really, which is crazy. Like, the sort of whiplash I got, I guess, coming from colourful Vaultland to grey, drab, military Brotherhood of Steel stuff was quite strong. Mm-hmm. But in the sort of grand scheme of the whole episode, it totally worked for me. At first, I was like, well, okay, I'm in brown tents and stuff like that. But again, it was to prove a point. Like, here's the nice kind of comfy underground world that these people have created with their crops and everything's generally speaking hunky-dory until the raiders come, to a guy literally shoveling excrement. So outside of like, yeah, I don't think so. Like, honestly, I'm really excited to watch more, and I really hope it does well, because this could be my sort of entry point. This could be my Fallout.
Does it make you want to play the game?
A little bit, but the thing is, Fallout has made me want to play the games a lot. Like, generally, I just love the aesthetic of that world, and I think it's a really clever universe for a video game to take place in. But me and Western RPG and Bethesda games, I play them for an hour and I just bounce off. Like, it's hard for me to stay invested. So I know if I was to pick up a Fallout game now, I'd do the same thing. I'd play for a bunch of hours. I'd come across Preston Garvey or whatever, and I'd be like, no, stop giving me too many things to do.
Save another settlement.
No, thank you.
I think one of the bits of the episode when the dad is captured by that vault lady, we don't know who she is yet, the raider lady, and she makes him choose between the other vault dwellers and the daughter because there's like a bomb there. But then he chooses Lucy and the bomb detonates, but there's no real, like, I don't know, fallout to that.
Right. There
it is. They like run away. So I don't understand that choice.
Yeah, they didn't really do a lot with it. It's kind of implied that they damaged the exit so they couldn't follow them or whatever, but they were never going to follow them anyway because the whole point is that they run and hide. I guess it's just meant to be their exit strategy, but they weren't really threatened. For me, the sort of setup of choose between these people, you know, which also didn't really work out because it was like, they all survived anyway. They all ran away and then you saw them later
that's
alive.
What I meant,
so you make a fine point, actually. That is a whole worth picking. Because the question of like, oh, we've let the protagonist live. Why did she make him choose? Is that going to be a further plot point? Is that just something that his character's like? Choose, is that her whole thing? But otherwise, it seems like a bit of a weird, gaudy setup. A bit odd. But
also, how old was her brother meant to be?
I have no idea. Man-child is what I got from that, obviously.
Because he looked looking young, like Steve Buscemi. He looked like he had a little bit of a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
I would have looked that up after the age of that actor. But other than that, like, I thought it was spectacular.
Yeah, generally speaking, great first impression. I'm trying to think of other video game adaptations that have immediately come out of the gates quite this strong. This sits amongst the top, don't you think?
Definitely. The only other like comparison I could make is The Last of Us, because that also had like a very, very good first episode.
Yeah, it really did.
And hopefully it continues on the trend of like the upward spiral, and hopefully the whole show is good.
Yeah. Have you, this is sort of a related sidebar, sidebar. have you been watching season two of Halo? I haven't jumped into it, but I know you watched season one.
I did watch season one. Yeah. I completely forgot about Halo. That's how not
just trying to,
do to
think of something to compare it to that isn't just as good, like, you know.
So I haven't been watching season two. I watched the ending of it and I've watched certain clips of it. Like, there was an episode where they did the Fall of Reach and that was a whole
thing.
They
did it in an episode.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's the whole season,
in that episode,
guys.
Master Chief does not wear his armor once as well.
Oh, my God.
That's the thing. Like, I think the creators of Halo didn't play the game and they don't have respect for the source material. Mm. And that's the difference. That's the, like, differentiating factor in a good adaptation versus a bad one. Just respect the source material. And I think Fallout does that really, really well.
Yeah, I would. I haven't seen it. I haven't watched the Halo show.
Don't.
Generally speaking, I'm trying to keep a wide berth from the show. And I guess Halo in general right now isn't really doing much for me. But does it feel like they had people, like researchers and people that were fans on the show, but then they had people above them that actually made the decisions and actually wrote the scripts? Because there's obviously a lot of recognizable stuff. They're doing Reach and stuff like that, but it's not done correctly.
Yeah, it's. I don't know what the deal is with that, because I think it got a new showrunner for season two, but it still suffers from all the same problems of season one. It's just telling a different version of the story that isn't as good. And the excuses that they give about not wearing the helmet all the time because you need to see like emotion, I think that's been debunked with like something like The Mandalorian, because it's been shown to work in other TV shows. I don't know. Halo's a funny one. It's just not good.
I know I'm picking on, you know, it feels like I'm picking on Halo a little bit, but you need to have that to be like exactly what we said, you know, treating with respect and stuff like that. If they'd have just waited a few years and maybe looked at something like The Last of Us and Fallout and done it correctly, they probably could have been running around with a lot of money. And also when you look at something like the Borderlands movie,
oh, God,
which is a similar kind of thing, it's like, it's all, there's an element here where it feels like you maybe got it right, but 75% of it just doesn't, it's not good, man. It's not what we want.
Yeah, it has to be more than just visuals. There has to be a story worth telling, like you said.
Mm.
And I don't know, with Borderlands, that doesn't look great, does it?
Not a fan. I mean, you say about the visuals, but I don't even think the visuals and that, like, again, 75% of that feels wrong visually. Like, it's bright and colourful, but the whole point of Borderlands is it looks a certain way. And it's a show that would have benefited from being an animated show. It should have been one of those.
How did you feel about Sonic? Have you seen that?
The Sonic movies. Yeah. I like the movies. The first one's kind of, it's fine. Like, it's a road trip movie with a hedgehog in it. Sonic 2, obviously the stronger one of them. I'm really actually looking forward to seeing what Sonic 3 is. I think somebody on board said that they're looking for an Avengers-level event, which is asking quite a big ask, but it should be just a fun, dumb... They're going to lean into the edgy Shadow the Hedgehog stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm here for it as a fan of Sonic Adventure 2, so...
I'm right there with you with that one. But yeah, I think it is funny because we mentioned that video game adaptations seem to be on the up. But then again, like you said, Borderlands, Halo, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just...
Maybe it's the fact that the number of them is on the rise.
Okay.
So statistically speaking, some of them have to be good.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I guess we'll see. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see. Cool. Well, Dan, anything else on episode one of Fallout before we wrap this baby up?
I just want to finish this so I can go watch episode two.
Oh, okay. I won't keep you then. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I've been your host, Si White. That's been Dan Durkin.
Thank you for listening.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.